I'm Kevin Kelly, and our show today has on it some members of the Arcadia Chamber Players who will give us a live preview in our studio of their concert, which is being performed twice this weekend, Friday and Saturday in Urbana. And also be talking with Studebaker John Grimaldi, who is a blues guitarist, harp player, singer-songwriter from Chicago. He and his band are going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on Friday evening. I keep saying Friday. I hope that it is Friday. Can't find my calendar. It's live and local.
She leaves home in the morning. She don't come back at night. She never acted this way.
You just heard a tune called That's the Way You Do. It's actually the title track from a CD put out in 2010 by Studebaker John and the Maxwell Street Kings. And John is, at the Castle Theater in Bloomington Saturday night for a show that starts at 8 o'clock. And it seems recovering that venue a few times lately, because it's actually sort of a new venue for me personally to have discovered. I haven't been there yet, but I hadn't known about it. And so I'm pleased, John, that they put me on to you. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Well, hey, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here, and we're glad to be playing there. It's been too long since we played Bloomington.
Well, it's about time then, and I'm glad that I sort of jumped in just at the right time. So, John Grimaldi, your given name. How did you come up with Studebaker John, get to be known that way?
Well, it's pretty easy a solution to figure that out. Actually, I was hanging around with a bunch of guys when I first started to drive, and my very first car was a Studebaker, so I got named Studebaker John because there was about three other guys in the crowd we were hanging with that also had the name John. So.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Johns these days.
Yeah.
Well, especially those days. I just heard a thing on NPR today that some very different names are now among the top names, but that's a whole other conversation. So, and I read here that you either do or did still have that car?
No, I don't have that car. I have one I bought a few years later. I bought it in the 70s. It's a Hawk, and I still have it.
And hence the name of your band, Studebaker John and the Hawks.
That's one of the reasons. The other reason was the fact that J.B. Hutto used to have a band called the Hawks. And when Hound Dog Taylor passed away, J.B. Hutto took the House Rockers. So it was then J.B. Hutto's and the House Rockers. And I asked him if I could use the name Hawks. And he said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." I said, "Well, at least I'll keep the name going for you for a while anyway, till you're ready to have it back."
Well, it's funny how
when he came back, he named his band the New Hawks anyway. Then.
Oh well, then so that was nice of him, I guess.
Yeah.
So that let you keep it. It's funny how these names get passed back and forth, and also how they pay tribute to other people. I know a lot of blues names, but there's a lot of people I don't know because I'm a classically trained musician. I appreciate the music, but I'm not as up on it. Are J.B. Hutto and Hound Dog Taylor, are those also Chicago musicians?
Yes, both Chicago musicians, both slide guitar players, and probably both of those guys are the reason I play slide guitar.
I recently discovered this for myself, recently meaning even within the last couple of years, so I'm going to assume that some of my listeners may have the same infirmity here, and that's a lack of knowledge of the difference between a regular guitar and a slide guitar. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the difference is real simple. You play a slide guitar with a piece of metal that you put on one of your fingers, and you slide it across the string. So it's kind of like a lap steel in country music, or one of those, I guess they have the bigger ones that are actually got even more strings than that. But that's basically what it's like, a steel guitar it would be, called in country music.
So you slide it across rather than actually press your fingers down on it.
Right, rather than fretting the string with it, you slide it across to attain the notes that you want, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, the blues guys kind of fingered it and used the slide at the same time. So that kind of gave it the unique style and sound that it has, you know.
And I know you have an interesting story of how you decided to play slide guitar as opposed to something else.
Well, yeah, the most interesting story I have would be the fact that as a younger guy, I got into an underage club where Hound Dog Taylor was playing, and the guest artist on the event showed up was J.B. Huddle, and we had two guys playing slide guitar at the same time on the same stage. And after that show, I just decided I had already played harmonica since I was a younger guy, and then after that I'd played drums, but then after that I decided I needed to play slide guitar.
And how long did it take you to pick that up?
It took a while. I started out my very first Studebaker John and the Hawks band just mainly playing harmonica and just playing slide guitar in a few songs, and then gradually it became 50-50, and at this point it's kind of almost like 75-25 slide, you know. So it became more and more.
But you get around really well on both instruments, that's for sure.
Well, I've played harmonica since I was a kid, really. So I've attained some form of style and or presence on the instrument where I could kind of get around pretty easily on it.
Some people would say virtuosity.
Well, I guess you could say that.
You're being modest enough to avoid that word.
I'm just, you know, whatever. You could call it what you want. Technique is technique, and technique isn't, to me, technique's never been a means to an end. You know, but yeah, I have a little bit of technique on the harmonica.
And you've been playing since like 7 years old,
yeah,
or something like that.
7 years old, I've been playing the harmonica. Just, you know, when at seven or whenever however old I was, I might even been younger when I first picked it up. You're just kind of a kid blowing into it, in and out of it, and you know, not really knowing too much about what you're doing. But you know, you're liking what it sounds like, so you just keep doing it.
And, John, let me just take a break here and ask, because I don't remember of the songs that I just mentioned, which of those might especially show off the harp?
Well, definitely Beeline would definitely show up the harp, and a very heavy influence to Little Walter. It would show that up very nicely. Okay. As Maxwell Street Kings is the name of the CD is That's the Way You Do, but the Maxwell Street Kings project, that was basically a tribute to all the guys that played on Maxwell Street and all the earlier guys, as well as the sounds that they were getting out of the recording studios and out of the labels.
Okay,
it's a tribute to all of that.
All right. Well, why don't we'll do that tune and then talk about all that stuff right now, because I was going to ask you about Maxwell Street anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see, where was that last bit? Well, we have a tune here from the same album that we just sampled a bit ago, That's the Way You Do, from 2010, called Beeline, that kind of shows off your harmonica chops here. Why don't we just give that a listen right now?
Sounds good.
It's Studebaker John and the Maxwell Street Kings. He's going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on Saturday night, and you're hearing him on Live and Local. Tune was called Beeline. It's Studebaker John and the Maxwell Street Kings here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And he's going to be with his original band, The Hawks, on Saturday at the Castle Theater in Bloomington for an 8 o'clock show. For more information on that and other shows there, you can go to thecastletheater.com. And John's on the phone with me right now, John Grimaldi. And you actually grew up under the spell of Maxwell Street, it says here on your biographical information.
Well, that's true. I went to Maxwell Street as a youngster, and I firsthand got to see a guy by the name of Big John Rencher play the harmonica in a band, which, you know, being so young, I never even realized you could play harmonica in a band like that, you know. And it was a big influence on me. I decided, wow, if he could do that, I should try to do that, you know. I had been playing some drums, and we're talking about I was probably in like a seventh or eighth grade situation in school, and maybe even sixth grade, I don't know. But this is what I seen, and I said, wow, I want to try doing that. And so I gradually switched over from drums to my first instrument, which was harmonica.
And what all went on in Maxwell Street? It was quite a melting pot for lots of things.
Basically, it was a flea market, and, you know, you could get anything you wanted on Maxwell Street. I mean, it was, if you went down there and you were looking for a suit, you could buy a suit on Maxwell Street. If you went down there looking for jewelry, you could buy jewelry on Maxwell Street. If you went down there looking for musical instruments, you could buy that on Maxwell Street. I mean, everything was there. It was and it was a melting pot of people and all these items that were for sale. It was a strange area, you know, as far as that goes. And people, you know, like I say, these musicians would actually play on the street and, for tips.
And who were some of the musicians that you could hear?
Well, like I said, Big John Rencher. He was a harmonica player with one arm. They used to call him either Big John Rencher or One Arm John. And he'd be playing there with his band, which was a drummer and a guitar player. Once again, a three-piece band. And that was also reinforced to me all through my, all through my career, the power of a three-piece band. And they were all plugged into the same amplifier. And there was he played harmonica and sang out of the same microphone. The guitar player also plugged into the same amplifier. And that same amplifier was also the PA system. So, I mean, it was...
And they didn't blow it out.
No, and it sounded great. And it was a guy with half a real drum kit and half a homemade drum kit.
could be one that he bought on Maxwell Street, huh?
Well, it probably was. But it was, you know, really what you would call the real thing, you know, and that's what influenced me the most.
And your CD, that's the way you do, paying tribute to a lot of the folks from Maxwell Street.
Right, and actually the tune Maxwell Street off of that is actually a tribute to John Rencher. I tried to sound like the way he sounded.
Mm. Do you do much imitation of other folks you've admired?
I do imitation through, you know, a little bit. I don't really do their songs. I write my own songs, but I do the styles that they played in, somewhat, just because, you know, to me that's what they were all about, was their styles were so powerful.
So if somebody who's knowledgeable about the blues hears you playing a particular tune, they could say every once in a while, oh, he's channeling so and so.
Right.
On that
you'll
tune.
Hear, on that record there, you're gonna hear, that's the way you do. You'll hear channeling of Muddy Waters. You'll hear channeling of Howlin' Wolf. You'll hear channeling a Little Walter, like the last record you just played. And you'll hear Hound Dog Taylor, some J.B. Hutto. Those are the people, you know, I tried to emulate on that record. Emulate it, not copy it, but emulate it.
Right, sure. And your band, The Hawks, which is the one you're going to be coming down to Bloomington with on Saturday, was also the name of your original band. How many of the guys are still with you from the beginning?
Well, anybody? The Hawks is always a personnel changing thing, but the bass player, Bob, has been with me about 6 years now. And the drummer, Paul, has been with me about, on and off, about 4 years.
So it's a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And any of those guys also in the Maxwell Street Kings from this disc?
No. Bob occasionally will play a a job or two with the Maxim Street Kings. If Rick or can't make it, or somebody else can't, you know, one of those guys can't make it, then yeah, I generally get somebody to fill in, and it generally would be Bob on bass instead of guitar. But none of them were in on the project because it was we did the project really as a fun thing, you know, as a thing that was meant to be fun and as a tribute that was, you know, meant something to us. We didn't to be honest with you, I didn't think it would actually go over with the people very well, because I didn't think they would know what we were talking about or actually, you know, care enough. But it's actually gone over pretty well, and I'm really happy with it. It's actually been a pleasant surprise.
One of those occasions where you don't mind being wrong.
Very, very much so. Very happy to be wrong this time.
Well, let's give our listeners a sample from your newer CD, which is just out this year, I guess, Born to Win, which is with the Hawks.
Oh, no, that's actually an older it's a re-release from a European album. That was the very first European record that I actually recorded in Europe.
Oh, no way. So how long ago was that?
So that was like 90, I would say like 91.
Wow. Do you mind our playing something from that long ago?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You got any favorites from that disc?
Nothing I could think of offhand.
Well,
pick one of your favorites.
I'll pick Just Coastin' in that case.
Okay.
This was a great tune, and wow, so it's 20 years old just about then.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, the latest record I've got out other than the Maxim Street Kings is a record called Waiting on the Sun, and that came out on my own label.
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're working on another one, I guess, is due out pretty shortly, right?
Well, we're going to hope that we can get it out this year or possibly early next year or something, but that'll be a Hawks record too. And then we're hoping to do another, since the Maxwell Street Kings were successful, we're hoping to do another record for Delmark with the Maxwell Street Kings.
Well, that I enjoyed hearing that one so much, I hope that works out.
Yeah.
Well, here's Just Coastin' from Born to Win with Studebaker John and the Hawks. They're going to be at the Bloomington Castle Theater Saturday night for a show starting at 8 o'clock, and you're hearing him on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The tune is called Just Coastin'. It's from Born to Win by Studebaker John and the Hawks. John Grimaldi is my guest here on Live and Local, and we just have him for a couple of minutes more. They're going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington Saturday night, and it's certainly been a pleasure to talk to you and get to know your music somewhat. There was, I noticed a comment in a rundown on your website of your various albums from 2001. You did one called Howl with the Wolf, and it says here that it revisits your roots, quote, one last look at the past before looking exclusively to the future, unquote. What did that mean?
Well, I think, you know, I think that they were thinking that, you know, that I was going to go ahead and do some more modern stuff, and I did at the time. I did do a bunch of more modern stuff after that record, and you know, I continue to do a mixture of stuff, you know. And most of my Hawk records are basically what would be probably called blues rock. But, you know, like the Maxwell Street Kings was just a project that actually had, when I was back with some of the other labels that I was with in the 90s and stuff, I really wanted to do that project. But it never worked out. None of the labels would back it. They all thought that it was not gonna work out for a good project. And so, like I said, it was a labor of love. Then when we finally did get a chance to do it, because the original idea was to do it with the House Rockers, which was Hound Dog Taylor's old band, as I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
I think, in the show. But that didn't happen, basically because the record company I was with at the time nixed the idea, and then by the time I got out of that label's deal, the guitar player, Brewer Phillips, passed away. So it was too late to do that. So then it was years gone by that I did a session with what became the Maxwell Street Kings. And I'd played with Rick before, but I'd never played with Steve before. And Steve was in on this one session.
Is this Steve Cushing?
Yeah. And when I heard Steve play along with me and Rick, I started to think, wow, maybe I could still do that project I wanted to do, and that was, and I did. But eventually, we did do it.
So it's pretty hard to play the blues, I would guess, and not look to the past.
Right. I mean, you know, if you. There's so much of it that comes out of tradition that you have to honor the tradition, you know. I mean, in order to play it, you know, right or real, you know. And you know, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but most of the people, you know, out there today play some sort of version of blues that's more like, you know, more like the rock and roll from the late 60s than it is like the real, you know, the real thing. And you know, I do too. I play an more up-tempo version of a lot of things I do. It is more up-tempo, and it is more rock and roll than say the Maxwell Street Kings CD would be. But, you know, I love them both, and you know, I'm going to continue to play them both. But it's a situation where the music kind of took on a life of its own, you know, and it became, you know, faster, louder, harder, you know, and that became rock and roll. And not to say that it's good or better or anything. They're both the same to me, you know. To me, I like them equally the same. And there's times I like to just hear nothing but the old, you know, low down style of Chicago blues, and then there's times when I like to hear rock and roll.
Well, I was talking with you about maybe playing a different song to close out here, and I was just thinking, you know, maybe just for something even more different than either of the two we're talking about, there's a song that I liked on your disc called Between Life and Death, called If I Had a Nickel.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's very cool.
I wrote that down as the closest thing to a ballad that you might
I've ever
might
played.
Do.
Yeah, it's kind of got like a New Orleans kind of feel to it, and it is kind of like a ballad, and it's like a New Orleans ballad, but it's got a really nice groove to it and a real nice feel.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to it. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, John, and folks can go hear Studebaker John and the Hawks Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. For more information on the show, go to thecastletheater.com. And for more information on Studebaker John, just go to studebakerjohn.com. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Kevin.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
If I had a nickel every time I'm reminded, yes, I'm reminded of you.
You just heard Studebaker John in a performance of his tune called If I Had a Nickel. And he was both the vocalist and the harpist, and not sure if he was doing guitar on that one or not, as well as a band called the Hawks. They are going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and we're pleased to have them today on Live and Local. As a matter of fact, on tomorrow's show, we'll be having live in our studio for the hour another band that's going to be at the Castle Theater tomorrow night called Pokey LaFarge and the South City Three, among the many current traditional roots musicians coming from a younger generation. And that should be a good time tomorrow. Programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to experience the three-play Summer Studio Theater Series this June and July. For more information, visit KranertCenter.com. Another concert you can hear this weekend, you actually have two opportunities to hear it, is by the Arcadia Chamber Players. They're based in Champaign-Urbana, and they'll be performing in Urbana both evenings at the studio home of the pianist for the group, Deborah Suter. And we have, we have all the performers, I guess, from this concert. Not quite all the performers from this concert who are with us. Well, many of the performers on the concert, I guess, except one. And we're going to hear a bit of a live preview here right now. So we do have with us Deborah Suter, who is the pianist, as I said, Mary Chapman, flutist, Marina Antoline, clarinetist, and a couple of guests, pianist Tatiana Shustova, and, if I'm reading your website correctly, the first and only male to ever play with the Arcadia Chamber Players.
Wrong.
No?
We had Scott Schwartz a few years ago on guitar.
Well, then you need to fix your website.
I do. That was my fault.
Okay, well.
One of the only mistakes I've ever made.
No, not bad. Well, anyway, his name is Aaron Jacobs, and he's going to be playing violin.
I don't feel quite so special anymore.
Yeah, he was all buttered up there and excited.
Sorry about that.
Second only male to have played with Arcadia Chamber Players.
The first male to actually play a normal chamber music instrument.
I'm not sure Scott would like
no,
that.
No, I know he wouldn't. Kidding, Scott. But a guitar can play in so many different realms of music. Also, for that matter, can the violin. You just turn it over and it's a fiddle. And then you can play different kinds of music. So you've got a twist to at least one of your performances this weekend. Deborah, it's your house. Why don't you tell folks about special things they could get if they decided to attend the Saturday evening performance?
Well, Saturday evening, we're going to start the performance at 6 o'clock and follow it with the dinner. Bruce Buckingham is going to be our chef. We're going to have chicken and vegetable kebabs, wine and rice, and desserts.
And who is Bruce Buckingham?
That's Marina's husband.
Yes.
So he's a cook, is he?
He is. He cooks for a fraternity on campus here. And so he's quite used to cooking for many people. And so we're going to have and his shish kebabs are amazing. I can attest to that. And I would welcome everyone to come and sample the food. It's going to be lovely.
And so if you're one of the many people who have occasionally heard Marina reference a husband, but never saw hide nor hair of this fellow, here's your chance. Or will he be hiding in the kitchen?
You'll get to meet him.
You can see the kitchen from just about anywhere in the house. So, I've been a couple times, I think, to your Urbana studio performances, and it really is a wonderful place to hear a concert. Deborah teaches a private piano in her home and has two pianos in there. Although, will they both be used for this performance?
Not for this performance, no.
The last one I was to, you had both of them used simultaneously. There was some excitement going on.
Yes.
Well, let's hear the first preview. What piece are we going to be sampling?
This is Jean-Francais Music of the Heart. We're going to do the minuet and the ballade from this piece.
Musique de cour, want to say it in French. And this is Deb with Mary Chapman on flute and Aaron Jacobs on violin, members of the Arcadia Chamber Players who are performing Friday and Saturday in Urbana.
Thank you.
We heard two movements from the Musique de Cour by Jean Francais for flute, violin, and piano, and they were played by members and a guest of the Arcadia Chamber Players, flutist Mary Chapman, Deborah Suter on the piano, and the guest, who is Aaron Jacobs. And the concerts are happening twice this weekend on Friday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and then Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And the reason that it's earlier on Saturday is that if you buy a special ticket, you can also attend a dinner, which follows with wine as well. And though both evenings will be in the home of Deborah Suter in Urbana, and reservations are required because seating is quite limited. The phone number to make a reservation is area 217-384-0568, and you heard them here live on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Arcadia member who is with us, who, because she's right in the middle of her school day, won't actually be playing, is clarinetist Marina Antoline. So, Marina, I thought I'd give you the chance to talk a little bit about the two pieces on the program with which you are involved. Or is there more? I see two. Am I missing any?
No. That's right. That's correct, too. Well, the first piece that you'll hear with clarinet will be Aaron's Simple Gifts, which is written by John Williams. And I'm sure everyone remembers that when President Obama was inaugurated, the musical group that played at the inauguration outside in the very cold weather was Itzhak Perlman. And Yo-Yo Ma played the cello, and a woman named Gabriella Montero played the piano, and the clarinetist for that piece that day was Anthony McGill. And so they were all
lip syncing, as it turns out.
Well, yes, they took some heat for that, didn't they? Yes, but they recorded the piece 2 days earlier, and Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman both played on their Stradivari. So I don't think that they would want to have taken them outside. Interesting information, the pianist, they decoupled the hammers from the piano. So she actually was playing, but there was no sound. And the bows were soaped to make sure that they didn't create any sound at the inauguration. So
I wondered how they pulled that off.
Yeah, they did. Very interesting. Anyway, so it's a piece written by John Williams on the theme of simple gifts, which was President Obama's favorite classical composer was Aaron Copland. And so that's why he chose that. And it's a lovely little vignette with some variations in the middle. And, of course, the clarinet gets to introduce the simple gifts theme.
Of course. Why? As is only appropriate. And then the music by
Zimlinski. Yes, it's a trio for cello, piano, and clarinet. And I hate to say this publicly, but I did not know of this piece before I sort of doing research, trying to figure out what to play. It's very Brahms-like. It's much like the Brahms trio, the very, very famous one for the same instrumentation. They were friends, and Brahms helped Zimlinski in his composition and even recommended this piece for publication with Simrock. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he helped Zimlinski and admired him. And, of course, Zimlinski looked up to Brahms. So.
And for your next parlor quiz, you know, that was the same publisher to whom Brahms recommended Dvorak.
Really?
There
okay.
You go.
So Brahms was an advocate of his fellow composers. So this piece is epic. It's huge. It's one of those very heavy, sort of very musically interesting pieces. That we're closing the program with that one.
So Zimlinski, Francais, we heard a sample of, John Williams. Handel Halvorsen, which features two of the people who aren't with us today, violinist Maureen Murchie and violist Gion Kim Schleicher. And then are we going to be hearing the meditation from Thais on that concert, or are we just hearing that today?
It's on the concert.
It's on the concert, which we're going to hear just in just a moment. From the Arcadia Chamber Players Concert for Saturday evening. And before we get to that, I do want to, Friday and Saturday evening, sorry, I do want to mention some of the other performances going on in our listening area. The Peoria Players Theater are presenting the musical The Drowsy Chaperone tonight through Saturday at 7:30 with a matinee on Sunday at 2:30. It's Titanic, the musical, being put on by the Community Players Theater in Bloomington in their space, which is also called Community Players Theater. That's 7:30 tonight through Saturday, and Sunday matinee at 2:30. Chicago Farmer and Jake Willis are at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. There's a third person on that program whose name I didn't write down. Sorry for that person. The Gavin Stolte Project are playing at Emerald City Lounge in Champaign tonight at 8:30. Jeremy Pauly plays guitar at Millikan University's Kuiper Hall in Decatur. That's this evening at 6 o'clock. It's a program called Mornings at 7 at Springfield, the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I think that's a wrong designation for that concert. As a matter of fact, I'll have to look that up for tomorrow. Montessori Spring Concert is from Garfield Montessori in Decatur, is presenting the musical Annie Jr. at Lincoln Square Theater Friday and Saturday night at 7 o'clock. The Freak Brothers are with guitarist and singer Kevin Elliott at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tonight at 7. It's a Midsummer Night's Dream being put on by Rantoul Theater Group at Grissom Hall Theater in Rantoul tomorrow and Saturday at 8 o'clock, and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And it's Urbana High School Jazz Cafe in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. There's lots more, but that's what we have time to mention. Our program today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a lineup of 20 wines. Details are at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, WYLL's member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we're always grateful to our listeners who support us financially. It's live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're here every Monday through Friday from 12 to 1. And to take us out with today's show are violinist Andrew Jacobs and his wife, pianist Tatiana Shustova, in music that may well be familiar to many of our listeners. It's the Meditation from the opera Thais by Jules Massenet. Thank you all for coming in, and it's a pleasure to hear you as always.
Thank you.
You said Andrew
Jacobs. I said Aaron.
Who, Andrew. You said Andrew instead of
Andrew
Aaron.
Jacobs?
Yes.
Where did I come up with that? Aaron Jacobs. Well, I'm stumbling over all kinds of things today. You're just stalling. Why don't you play?
Okay. Thank you.